Exegesis of the Holy Quran.
لهذا الإنسان شكرا للمولى الرحمن للمولى الرحمن إذ من بهذا القرآن بهذا القرآن بهذا القرآن.
In the name of Allah, the Eternal, my God, I love thee not because I hope for heaven thereby, nor yet because those who love thee not are lost eternally. Not with the hope of gaining aught, not seeking a reward, but as thyself has loved me, O ever-loving Lord. Salam alaikum, dear audience of COI Radio. You are hearing the 21st edition of the program Exegesis of the Holy Quran, expertised by Hujjatul Islam Dr. Reza Bakhshayesh. We have the honor of broadcasting this program to you from the Islamic Republic of Iran.
مشنو ای دوست که غیر از تو مرا یاری هست یا بجز فکر تو کاری هست.
In the previous edition, verse 18 of Surah An-Nisa was commented on. It reads,
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وليست التوبة للذين يعملون السيئات حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قال إني تبت الآن وللذين يموتون وهم كفار أولئك أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما.
And repentance is not for those who go on doing evil deeds until when death comes to one of them. He says, surely now I repent. nor for those who die while they are unbelievers. These are they for whom we have prepared a painful chastisement. The first stated point was that the acceptance of somebody's good deeds is conditioned to two factors, a good ultimation of life here in this world, as well as the acceptance of repentance by Allah. Secondly, to postpone doing good deeds is considered a trick of Satan, called taswif. So it's better for everybody to hurry doing good deeds. Of the messages conveyed by the ayah, two of them were that bad ultimation of life here nullifies all good deeds and that everybody should be careful about the maintenance of his faith at the end of his life in this world. After finishing this verse, the expert commenced the commentary on verse 19, which reads,
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la yahillu lakum an tarithu nisaa karha ولا تعضلوهن لتذهبوا ببعض ما آتيتموهن إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة وعاشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا.
O you who believe, it is not lawful for you that you should take women as heritage against their will, and do not straiten them in order that you may take part of what you have given them, unless they are guilty of manifest indecency, and treat them kindly. Then if you hate them, it may be that you dislike a thing, while Allah has placed abundant good in it. In pagan Arabia, widows were divided among the heirs of the deceased, just like goods and cattle. Their heir either married the widow to someone else and kept her dower, or refused to let her marry unless he was paid a handsome amount as a settlement, or else married her himself. Another maneuvering was to harass the wives by imprisoning them in their houses, in order that they might be forced to claim separation and thus to relinquish their dower or their inheritance. All such barbaric customs were swept aside by this verse. According to a narration from Ibn Abbas, this Quranic verse was revealed about such tradition. Now let's go to the points presented by the ayah. The first point conveyed would be that no one has the right to take the dower of his wife entirely after her death. Second, no one is allowed to force his wife to give her dower to him. Third, advisably try not to make decisions in hurry, because it may be that you dislike a thing while Allah has placed abundant good in it. Fourth, some exegetes believe that the phrase abundant good in the ayah refers to good children. Finally, men are allowed to harass their wives in the recommended way only in the occasion of adultery. The messages were four. Islam is the real defender of women's right. No husband would possess his wife's property by force. Even bad wives should be treated fairly and honorably. And what one dislikes is not necessarily bad. Respected listeners, now we invite you to be with Hujjatul Islam Dr. Bakhshayesh for his commentary on verses 20 and 21.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين الحجة ابن الحسن روحي له الفداء. We were on the interpretation of chapter Nisa, and in this program we begin with the verse 20. First, I invite your audience to the recitation and translation of the verse word for word. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ If you desire to take a wife in place of another, وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا And you have given one of them a heap of gold. فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا Do not take anything away from it. أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا Would you take it by way of calumny and flagrant sin? وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ How could you take it back when you have known each other? وَأَخَذْنَ مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا And they have taken from you a firm covenant. This verse also suggests deals with the marital rights, the rights and the issues between husband and wife. As I explained and I translated the verse here, this verse deals with and discusses about somebody, a husband, who wants to change his wife, to divorce the existing wife and to marry another wife. At the time of Jahiliyyah and pre-Islamic era, when some men wanted to divorce their wives and marry another woman in their place, because they could not easily divorce their wife, they used to find some pretext and some excuse under which they proved that they had the right to divorce their wives. So they used to accuse the wife of indecent act, and then put pressure on the wife, on the poor wife, until they become ready and they become satisfied to free their dowry and be divorced. And then the husband would take this dowry and make it a dowry for the new wife and would marry a new wife. Then this verse was revealed to prevent this kind of practice, which was very unfair and very inhuman. Point number two is explanation about the word qintar. Qintar literally means bridge. And because big money is a kind of bridge through which somebody becomes able to do something, a big property in Arabic literature is used for a big property and big money. So we call it qintar. Qintar means lots of property, lots of money, by which somebody becomes able to do many things. And also, in some traditions of Ahlul Bayt, explain that qintar is, for example, the skin of a cow, the skin of an ox filled with gold. It means lots of money, lots of gold, and these things. But it should be noted that this is only an example and case. And in the methodology of exegesis of Quran, the example and the case does not limit the concept of the word, the general concept of the word. So this explanation that if Imam said, qintar is or a heap of gold or a quintal of gold, does not mean that exactly a skin of a cow filled with gold. It means lots of money, lots of gold and these things. Not that it should be the as amount of one skinful of gold like that. Any big amount of money or any heap of gold which considered as a big property, big money, can be an example of the concept of qintar. Point number three is that this is a grave sin, that an unfair treatment that those husbands, by accusing their innocent wives, made an excuse of that, a pretext of that, an excuse of that, in order to force them to be satisfied, to let their dowry free for them, by unfair accusations. And also, the point here is that to take the properties of other people is itself a kind of sin. So to take the dowry of women is a sin. But to accuse them with indecent act and these things is another
grave sin. So here one sin is over another sin. That here it becomes one of the gravest sin to accuse innocent wife of indecency or adultery in order to take their property. Here there are two sins, one over another, and it is haram. Point number four is that women are real and lawful owner of their property, and it should be, and the rights toward their dowry should be respected and should be observed. Point number five is that it is true that this verse was revealed in the context or in the case of these women who want to, for example, divorce their wife and marry another wife, but the ordinances and the rulings is not limited to that. So whenever somebody wants to divorce his wife, he must give the dowry to her, or if he has already given the dowry to the wife, he does not have the right to take it back from the wife. So whether in this case or in other case, those issues, those conditions which here is discussed in this verse does not have a role in the rule, in this ruling that I said that it is haram to take back the properties or the dowries of the wife. So it is not limited in the case that we say it is haram to take it back because you want to take it a dowry for the second wife. Whether it is to be taken as a dowry for the second wife or not, it is haram to take the property of the first wife. It is a dowry because dowry is the property and it is free for them, a lawful property. And no husband has the right to take it back from him. Point number six is that in Arabic wording or in Arabic method of making different verbs, like istibdal, which they say is in the bab or which rhymes with istif'al. This kind of wording has the meaning of talab, means wanting something. When you want something, when aratum istibdal, istibdal means when you want to change. To change your wife, it means divorce this wife and marry another wife. But here, within the concept of wanting, there is the meaning of desire or the meaning of decision. This is to emphasize on the fact that sometimes those men, those husbands, they used to perpetrate steps in order to make their wives ready to make free their dowry. So here, this kind of wording in Arabic literature suggests that this kind of procedure was done through unfair preparatory steps, which is unlawful and unfair and unhuman. The message of this verse, first, again, Islam is the protector and the supporter of the rights of women. Message number two is that no Muslim, no husband is allowed to ignore the right of the first wife for the sake of the second wife. Message number three is that no husband is allowed to take back the dowry already given to them. Message number four is that in order to reach your goal or your objective, your aim, you are not allowed to make use of unfair preparations or preparatory steps.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and judgment day. Righteous is he who bows to one he cannot see, whose deeds do not spring without bismillah, fulfilling his task with perfect taqwa. Devout is he who supplicates to Allah intensely, whose heart is merciful, tender and kind, his gaze on life after this world behind.
Now we begin with the next verse, verse number 21. وكيف تأخذونه وقد أفضى بعضكم إلى بعض. How could you take it back? This is how you, husband, think yourself, become yourself satisfied with this issue. To take this dowry that you have given to your wife, you want to take it back. وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. When you have known each other in privacy, you become aware of yourselves. The husband and wife, they know each other in privacy. It means they are familiar with their private parts and these things. While you are in such a state and you have sexual intercourse with her, how you are satisfied to take the property back from the poor wife? This is not a good treatment. وَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. And they have taken from you a firm covenant. You know, at the beginning, when you want to, at the occasion of marriage, so you know that the father of the of your wife or the relatives of your wife, when they were there, so they made a firm covenant with you to respect her and to observe her right. How you want to break your promise and forget your promise and to take her right, that is dowry here, to take it back from. This is not a good character. And as a matter of fact, this verse here is making use of some psychological reasonings and provoke the feelings of the husband. So the first point here is that this verse prohibits from one of the grave sins, and that is to take the properties of the wife, that is her dowry, by provoking the feelings and the affections of the husband and reminding him that you had gone to bed with her and you had sexual intercourse with her and you have enjoyed her and these things. Now, it is not a good character. It is not a good, it is not in human way and good manner to take her property and her dowry. The second point is that marriage is one of the firm covenants which is not to be easily broken. So as far as it is possible, you have to observe the marital relationship and you must not break the contract of marriage, because a healthy society depends on the healthy relationship in the family. And if this relationship between wife and husband is broken very easily, so the whole society would collapse and would be subject to lots of risk and dangers. Because when the relations between the members of society are firm and fixed and strong, so the society as a whole would be strong. So because of that, we have to respect and observe these relations. And you know, one of the issues our time is the question of the family, and this is one of the miseries in the West that we observe, and we can see in the video films that other people say the situation in the West, that very easily a man divorces his wife, or the wife leaves the family, and this is very big problem for the Western life or Western civilization, that the family at each time is at risk. Because if the man, if the husband sees another woman and he is interested and falls in love with her, so very easily he divorces his wife. Or if the wife is attracted by a man, by another man, who may be married also, she leaves family very easily. But you know, Islam, through the method of the wheel of women, is respecting and preventing and strengthening the relationship between the wife and the husband in the family. And when this relation is firm, the whole society becomes healthy and strong. The message of this verse is that to take back the dowry is contrary to the covenant, to the firm covenant of marriage, and is contrary to human affections and human feelings. The second point is that we should respect our marital relations, and as far as it is possible, we should observe and continue the relation between the husband and wife. وصلى الله على محمد وأهل بيته الأطهار.
اللهم بالحق
Precious audience of the Call of Islam Radio, what you heard was a commentary on verses 20 and 21 of Surah An-Nisa. In the next program on August 3rd, inshallah, verses 22 and 23 will be covered. Besides satellite, our web address at www.coiradio.com can help you to access the programs. May God bless you and goodbye.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين إن سألتم عن كتابي فهو قرآن كريم ضم دستور الحياة وحوى نور المبين وحوى نور المبين If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, If you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the